As you are able, would you please rise to honor God's word? James 4, verses 1 to 10, contains some very convicting verses. So when I read those verses, I'll try not to make eye contact with any of you, because you might think I'm pinpointing you. Rather, I'll see a mirror on the back wall, and I'll see myself in that mirror, because James 4, 1 to 10 was written to me and to you. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You have not because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is friendship with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is God's convicting word. Please be seated.
It is easy to miss something you are not looking for. Our house in Tuamach, that's the name of our city, our house is sitting on Main Street 36. And Main Street 26 or so is the Roman Catholic Church, just about some 300 feet from our house. Now, in Tuamach, most people go to the Saturday afternoon mass. It's at 5 o'clock, and people go to the church and come back. Starting in mid-November, late October, it gets very dark. And for some reason, the Tuamach folk, particularly anybody over 50, particularly if she's a female, they dress black, jet black. And they walk on the highway, okay? Public lighting is kind of dim. And when I'm driving home, I'm probably driving 5 miles an hour, because I want to make sure I do not hit any of those dear souls who are walking to church and walking back. Because it's very easy to miss something you're not looking for. Now, just to add a twist to it, some of these dear folks, particularly seniors in their 60s, 70s, they put on the black stuff and they sit on a bicycle, and there is no lights on a bicycle, okay? Imagine that. This is reality. And it's very easy to miss something. So you really need to look for it, because it's very easy to miss something you're not looking for. Now, what does it have to do with our message? And what does it have to do with James? It has to do with our message, because it's so easy to miss something in this church, in my church, that we are not looking for, but something that is obvious for anybody else. It is so easy to miss something you're not focusing. It's so easy to overlook something that is there, and not see something that should be there that makes our church less attractive. In this sermon, I would like to teach you the slogan. So we're going to say the slogan a few times. I'd like to say a word that may be new for many of you, and then I'd like to say two words that are very, very familiar for all of us. So there's going to be a slogan, and the slogan is like this. It is easy to miss something you're not looking for. And the new word is missional. Let me say it again. Missional. Not missionary, but missional. By Wikipedia, the definition of missional is a church that embodies Christ. A church that not only sends out missionaries, but a church that embodies Christ's words and Christ's actions and Christ's attitude and Christ's person. A church where the body of Christ functions healthily. A church that is not missing what it is to be Christ-like. A church that, when outsiders look at it, they say, wow, that is a supernatural reality on this planet Earth. But yet so often we miss it. And this chapter is talking about what we miss, but it also gives us the fix. Because, you know, a missional church wants to show, and this is the definition, the word, what a restored and healed community looks like. But when unchurched people look at our churches, sometimes they only see what is missing. What is missing? But, you know, I'm thankful because here's the word of God, and it fixes, it corrects, it helps us how to be more Christ-like. Now, if you go into our text, there is a great contrast. If you open your Bible and go to James chapter 3, and you go to verse 17, you see a beautiful phrase. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Isn't that beautiful? Is it something that I would like to be? Is it something our church would like to be here and in Hungary? And the answer is yes. Of course, yes. We would like to be full of this divine, heavenly wisdom. But then comes verse 1 in chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Boom! Now, is James talking about a hypothetical church? Hey, readers, I'd like to talk to you about a church when there is church wars. Can you believe that? Now, let me ask Redeemer Bible Church. Can you imagine that there is a Christian church somewhere in Dallas when people fight? Okay. Can you imagine that there is a church when there is person A who absolutely doesn't like person B? And I'm not looking at anybody. And the answer is yes. And before going any further, the same is true for Hunger. The same is true for my church. Church wars are not something as a hypothetical scenario. Church wars are something, a sad reality. And we are missing it. And the outsiders see it. Just the fact that Christianity is so fragmented, there is zillions of denominations and churches, it just goes against what the Lord Jesus prayed for, unity. Church wars are something real. Church wars are there, but they shouldn't be. So what is missing if you read verse 1? What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? What is that one word that is missing? It starts with P. Peace. Peace. James says, look, guys, here is heavenly wisdom. And what do I see? Peace. That's what you need. Peace. That's what you're missing. That's what you're overlooking. And that's what the outsiders are seeing. And that does not help you to become a missional community. So if there is no peace in the church, you should strive for peace. Because you're missing on something. Now, what causes this? What causes this? If we go on further in our text, verse 2, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. What causes church wars? What causes conflicts? What causes the lack of peace? In one word, the flesh. The flesh. And when we talk about the flesh, this is a biblical concept that refers to everything and anything that is doomed to death. We will all die. What a sermon, right? Yes, we will all die because something in us, one aspect, the physical aspect, is not restored. It's not restored. We are on this side of the resurrection. and in sin in my body, sin in my instincts, sin in my thoughts, sin in my emotions, sin in my will, sin in everything I am and I do, and there is a new inner reality, the new self, the immaterial, that is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and the two are at war. If you recall from Romans chapter 7, that is exactly what Paul is writing about. There's a warfare going on. There's warfare going on. And in this church, what causes the quarrels? What causes the fight? Why is there no peace? Because these people are driven by the flesh. These people are driven by the flesh. That causes church wars. What is more important? The other person or my will? What is more important? My will or your will? My good or the other person's good? What causes quarrels? Desire, instinct? All that is from the old man, from the flesh. And there is no peace. It is so easy to miss something you are not looking for. If there is church wars in the church, that's a symptom. That's a symptom of worldliness. That's a symptom of worldliness. And what is the result of it? Look at verse 2 and look at verse 3. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. If you need to sum it up, I call it wrong prayer life. You know, if my life is driven by the flesh, if there is a community that is driven by the flesh, if that is present in the church, then a lifeline, what we depend on, is not prayer anymore. We don't pray at all. We just do things. Or if we pray, in the center of my prayer life is my will, not your will. We pray for self. We pray for things our self desires instead of praying for things God tells us to pray for. Now, James is writing to a real church. And if you start feeling bad, welcome to the club. When I was reading these words, I felt bad. Just as Don said, I was looking in the mirror. I said, wow, I shouldn't preach this Sunday. I should just keep a repenting weekend, okay? But then I said, why? Well, I'd like to share it with you, okay? God wants to have a fix. We are missing something. We are missing peace. There is wars in the church caused by the flesh, resulting in wrong prayers. But that can be fixed. That can be fixed. You know, another consequence of it, if we go any further in the text, if you go at verse 4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Another symptom of it is worldliness. When members of the church live according to the flesh, when their choices are driven and determined by the pressures of the world, I see it so often. I see it so often. There's great pressure, talking about money, talking about self, talking about all those ideas that bombard people. Live by the word. It looks tempting. It looks attractive. But the result is this incredible separation, incredible loneliness, incredible being apart from God. The result is church wars. And if the church is only a bunch of individuals striving their own ways, trying to do what pleases them, praying prayers for themselves, driven by the instincts, then it's not a church, it's just a bunch of individuals sitting in the same room. But that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. You know, if you talk about all these things, church wars, if you talk about missing peace, if you talk about missing prayer, if you talk about missing godly living, the root cause of all these things is one word. And that is pride. That is pride. It is my pride that keeps me away from becoming a missional Christian who embodies Christ. It is my pride who says, I can do it. I'm enough. I'm sufficient. I'm trained. It is pride. And it's so easy to miss it. Because we busy ourselves with programs and with plans and budgets and all this stuff. And we just miss it. That what is more important is that we need to be, and that's the second word, humble. We need to be humble. We need to be humble. And that's the second part of our passage. The first part talks about the problem. There's a church that is not missional, that does not attract people. When people fight, when people pray prayers that are not genuine or not godly, when people live lives that are double, and all goes back to pride. But the second part of the passage gives us the fix. And that's so wonderful. And that's so wonderful because look at verse 6 and on. Look at verse 6 and on. Verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Becoming a missional community, becoming a missional Christian, becoming a community that draws people in and sends people out, becoming a community that attracts people, becoming a community that shows that, hey, this is a supernatural community. That is only possible by the grace of God. But it is possible. It is possible. It is possible. But how? And the word is the opposite of pride. It is humility. It is humility. And I don't know about the English language, but in Hungarian, humility is the most difficult word. Close to please forgive me and all these other difficult words. Is it difficult to be humble? Please say yes. Why is it difficult? Because I need to give up whom? The most precious person, that is me. It's difficult to be humble because I need to say things like, yes, I was wrong and you were right. Yes, God, you are right and I am wrong. It's difficult to be humble because I need to say, please forgive me. I need to say it to my spouse. I need to say it to my children, to my colleagues, to my unbelieving neighbor, and so on and on and on. It's difficult to be humble because humility realizes that I depend on God. I am under Him. I'm submissive. He's perfect, he's right, I am not. But look what it says. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Actually, it's quoting a proverb. Humility is the fix. Humbleness, that is the fix. That pushes a church to a missional direction. That pushes a church to a direction when it's not only doing missionary work, but becomes a missionary station where people see something that is not out there. People see something that is not out there. And then it really gives us some good details what it takes to be humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's the first thing. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. How do you do that? Well, you say, I don't see God. Well, that's right. You don't see Him. But you can read what he says. Submitting to God means obeying him. Submitting to God means that, hey God, I know you are creator of the universe. I know this comes from you. So I will do what it says. And you know, it's easy to obey when it says easy things like love your wives and husbands. That's sometimes easy, sometimes not. But if the word of God says, hey, go and get some ice cream. Okay, me the first. But the Word of God says some tough things that go against our proud nature, that are not easy to do. When I have to do things that go against common sense. When I have to love those nobody loves. When I have to show Christ to those who are not interested. And so on and on and on and on. Submit yourselves to God. Submitting means that I hide the Word of God in my heart and I pull it out when it's needed. Submitting means that I know He is there. I know He is in control. I know even if I don't understand. And I know I do according to His will. Submitting means realizing and understanding that He has complete and good and loving authority over all the areas of my life. That's submission. That's submission. And this is something supernatural. This is something our flesh is not able to do. But God gives us grace. God gives us His Holy Spirit. He enables you. He enables you. You can do something that those who do not know God cannot. You can submit to God. And it can be obvious in your life. It can be obvious in your life. Submit to God. Resist Satan. That's 7a. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, how you do that? Let me be very practical. I told you that before, but what really helps me is scripture memory. It really, really does help me. Because I enter situations when I have to make a quick decision. I enter into situations that are tempting. And I find it more than often that a Bible verse just poof, pops up. And how interesting, that Bible verse just poof, answers that particular situation. And that Bible verse brings me the wisdom of God instead of the foolishness of my flesh. A good place to start this practice is the book of Proverbs. But that's just a good start. There is principles and examples and commands from all over Scripture that if you hide them in your heart, they will help you in time of need. Memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Put it on your fridge, in your kitchen, in your car. Make it a point to hide the Word of God in your heart so that you can resist Satan. And you don't have to do it by yourself. You do not have to do it by yourself. Share your temptations and struggles with your spouse, with your friend, with your pastor, people from church. You don't have to be this big Christian Terminator, I'll do it all by myself. No. We are members of a community. We resist Satan together. We carry the weak. We heal the wounded. We help the fallen to stand up. We resist Satan together as a community. And at least in Hungary, in this age of individualism, sometimes it's so strange. I should talk to someone else about my struggles. Yes, 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 yes. A lot of my work is helping young men with their struggles. And guess what? Those struggles come from this little cell phone. Many of my students, younger colleagues, struggle with issues on the little cell phone. And when they come to my office, they know they come to a safe place. I want to help them stand up. I want to help them resist temptation. I have men who help me resist temptation. I'm not strong enough. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and that's going to make the community attractive and Christ-like and missional. And if this wasn't difficult enough, look at verse 8 and 9. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. And once again, this is something that I need to do in private. This is something I need to do on a regular basis. This is something I need to do, as you heard it at the beginning, by looking into the Word of God and comparing this reality with this reality and saying, I was wrong, please forgive me. But this is not just an individual exercise. This is also something for the community. This is also something for the community. And if you have children, please make sure that if you do something wrong against your children, you say, I am sorry. And if you are married and if you hurt your spouse, please make sure that you say, I am sorry. And if you have workers and co-workers and friends and family members, if you insult them, if you do something bad, please make sure you say, I am sorry. And if the Word of God points at a sin in your life, please make sure that you have a trusted advisor, a trusted friend who helps you. Confess your sins. Cleanse your hands. Remove any obstacle that holds you back from getting closer to God, to His absolute perfect holiness. I really hope you see the love of God from this passage. God sees a problem. And through the words of James, He says, hey guys, something is wrong in this community. There is church wars. There is the lack of humility. Even outsiders see this. And I'm not talking about Redeemer Bible Church. I'm talking about this church. But the principle for us 21st century Christians is that God does not only point at the problem, but gives us the fix. Gives us the fix. And the fix is, be transparent. When I'm thinking about confessing sins, it's like thinking about my children. The kids are big now, but when they were little, sometimes they did things like fighting. Can you believe that? They were fighting. And say, Latik was 2 years old, but he was a strong little boy. Lutza was 4, and they were fighting. Okay, so there's a good wrestling match, and I'm watching. And they think I don't know about this, okay? I know it. I love them. And I usually knew who started. And I usually knew what the end was, crying. Now, what was my point? What was my intention? My intention was to help them. My intention was to have peace. My intention was to help them understand that by hurting a brother or sister, they're not going to fix anything. Did I know who started? Yes. Did I know what they did? Yes. Did I know how it ended? Yes. I knew the whole process. So when we confess sins, it's not about, God, let me tell you about this. Perhaps you didn't know. He does know. Okay? So you cannot give new information to God about your sins. I cannot give new information to God about my sins. He knows. He knows everything. What He needs is a transparent, submissive, humble spirit that says, God, this is what I am. This is how much I can do. That's what my flesh does. I yearn to be with you. My spirit wants to be with you. And I know what I did. I humble myself. Please help me. And with the same attitude, you go to a brother and sister and say, help me. I'm struggling. Help me to stand up. Confess your sins. Confess your sins that you draw near to the holiness of God and let that holiness saturate the community, because that makes it difference. That makes it missional. That makes it attractive. That is one reason we just love coming to Redeemer Bible Church, honestly. Because there is so much love and so much grace and so much mercy. And it's not because you are superhumans, no. It's because this Holy Spirit of God saturates this community. Holiness saturates this community. And that makes it attractive. And yes, programs and the style of music and all these details are important. But please understand, the human management issues do not make a community supernatural. The Holy Spirit of God does. Holiness does. Holiness does. And if you go in our text, there's one more thing in the notes. Have a humble attitude. Have a humble attitude. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will exalt you. In any and every situation, say, God, without you, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I just love James. I just love James because James completes Paul. Paul says, you are justified by faith. And James says, you justify your justification by your actions. Paul says, you are justified by faith and you became a new individual. You as a community became a new community. And James says, because you are a new individual and you are a new community, justified by a supernatural presence in this fallen world. And that supernatural presence will draw the unbelievers in. That will make it, will transform it into a missional community. Into a missional community. But it's so easy to miss something you're not looking for. So the purpose of this message is this. Let's look for the signs of pride. Let's look for the signs of pride. And if I see pride in myself, and it always starts with me, I want to become humble. I want to become one who submits to God, because the change always starts with me. It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. 30 years ago, I was riding my bicycle behind a truck. Okay, and at that time, I did not have a helmet on. And let me just tell you this. If you are like 10 feet from a truck can stop faster than a bicycle. I know it from experience, okay? I was doing about 25 miles an hour, and the truck was pulling me, so it was a lot of fun. But suddenly, the truck stopped. So I landed on my face on the side of the truck like that. And there was a broken nose and a lot of blood. And I was laying on the pavement, and people helped me. I made it, but you can see the results on my nose, because I was not looking for the sign. Abrupt stopping right on the back of the truck. That's what it was. But you know, if you're missing the signs of pride in the church, if you're overlooking the signs of pride in the church, in myself first, that may result in broken souls, in broken people, in broken people. So let's look for the signs of pride in yourself first, in the community, and replace it with humility. Replace it with humility, because that humility, that humble Christ-like growing community that shows the supernatural presence and the holiness of God the Creator, that will attract people in this fallen world. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you gave us the wisdom of James for this morning. There is church wars. The flesh is present in churches. But we don't want to miss it. And we want to look for humility in our personal lives first. We want to be submissive Christians as individuals, but also as communities. Cleansing our hands from sin, asking for forgiveness in humility, loving our brothers and sisters in the community, doing it by the empowerment of your Spirit, creating a supernatural presence, a missional community, where the presence of God is obvious, that draws in lost people because they see Christ's words and Christ's actions and Christ's character and Christ's person. Help us to grow in humility. In Jesus' name we prayed, amen.